Introduction: The purpose of neurofeedback training. Neurofeedback training is a specialized approach within biofeedback that focuses on harnessing the brain's plasticity to address neurological and psychological conditions. The primary purpose of neurofeedback training is to help individuals learn to regulate their brainwave activity, thereby promoting improved mental and emotional well-being. Using EEG technology, neurofeedback training monitors brain activity in real time and provides clients with feedback on their brainwave patterns. This enables them to practice self-regulation, cultivating measurable and meaningful changes. Neurofeedback operates on the principle that the brain, when given appropriate information about its function, can learn to adapt and optimize its processes. Core concepts of neurofeedback training center on brainwave frequencies and their relationships with various states of consciousness and behaviors. For example, delta waves are associated with deep sleep, theta waves with creativity and relaxation, alpha waves with calm wakefulness, and beta waves with focused attention. In neurofeedback, protocols are designed to enhance or suppress specific frequencies to address issues such as anxiety, ADHD, sleep disorders, or peak performance states. Clients often receive visual or auditory feedback, such as a changing graph or tone, which helps them understand when their brain achieves desired states. The process roadmap in neurofeedback training provides a structured framework that guides the clinician and client from assessment to training and eventual mastery. This roadmap typically begins with a comprehensive intake session, including a quantitative EEG, QEG, or brain mapping. The QEG identifies dysregulated brainwave patterns that inform the development of a personalized training protocol. Subsequent sessions involve active neurofeedback training, where the client learns to modulate their brainwaves with the help of continuous feedback. Progress is tracked over time, with periodic reassessments ensuring the training remains aligned with the client's goals. Client-clinician roles in neurofeedback training are collaborative and dynamic, emphasizing a partnership rather than a hierarchical relationship. The clinician serves as an educator and guide, interpreting brainwave data, designing training protocols, and facilitating the sessions. On the other hand, clients are active participants in the process, learning to control their brainwave activity through consistent practice. This partnership fosters a sense of agency in clients, empowering them to take charge of their mental health and resilience. Clinic policies form the backbone of a professional and ethical neurofeedback training practice. Clear policies ensure transparency, consistency, and trust between the clinician and the client. These may cover session structure, fees, cancellation policies, and confidentiality. For instance, clinics may outline the number of recommended sessions, expected outcomes, and limits of neurofeedback training, ensuring clients have realistic expectations. Clinicians may also discuss privacy measures, particularly when using cloud-based EEG software, to reassure clients about their data security. Initial session goals. The initial session in neurofeedback training serves as the foundation for the therapeutic relationship and sets the tone for the entire process. One of its primary goals is to address misconceptions about how neurofeedback training works. Many clients arrive with limited or inaccurate knowledge, influenced by popular media or anecdotal reports. They may view neurofeedback training as a quick fix or a one-size-fits-all solution. The clinician's role is to educate clients on the science behind neurofeedback, explaining that it is a learning process that requires commitment and practice. By debunking myths and providing accurate information, clinicians help clients approach neurofeedback training with a more informed and open mindset. Addressing misconceptions also involves clarifying what the neurofeedback equipment does. Clients may feel intimidated by the EEG sensors or the technical nature of the feedback system. Clinicians can demystify the process by demonstrating how sensors record electrical activity on the scalp and explaining that the feedback is non-invasive and does not involve electrical stimulation. They can also reassure clients that the equipment simply reads brain activity and provides feedback, helping alleviate fears or misunderstandings. Written informed consent is a crucial component of the initial session. This document serves as a formal agreement between the clinician and client, outlining the nature of the treatment, its potential risks, and expected outcomes. It ensures that clients have a clear understanding of what they are consenting to and provides an opportunity for them to ask questions. Informed consent is not merely a legal requirement, but a tool for fostering trust and transparency in the therapeutic relationship. The informed consent process also underscores the experimental nature of some neurofeedback applications. While neurofeedback training has strong evidence for certain conditions, such as ADHD and anxiety, it may be less established for others. Clinicians must be candid about the limitations of current research, emphasizing the importance of ongoing evaluation and communication throughout the training process. This honest dialogue helps manage expectations and ensures clients feel respected and informed. During the initial session, clinicians also take the opportunity to gather a detailed history of the client's symptoms, lifestyle, and goals. This information provides context for the QEG assessment and helps tailor the training protocol to the client's unique needs. For instance, a client struggling with insomnia may benefit from protocols targeting theta and alpha waves, while someone with ADHD may require beta training. This individualized approach is a hallmark of effective neurofeedback. Finally, the initial session sets the stage for a supportive and collaborative environment. By validating the client's experiences and concerns, clinicians create a safe space for open communication. This rapport is essential for the success of neurofeedback training, as clients are more likely to engage and persist when they feel understood and supported. The initial session, therefore, is not only about technical preparation, but also about building a foundation of trust and partnership. Competence development, EEG equipment literacy. Developing competence in EEG equipment literacy is foundational to effective neurofeedback training. EEG equipment literacy begins with mastering measurement techniques, which involve accurately identifying electrode placement sites on the scalp. Clinicians must understand the anatomical landmarks used for precise measurements, such as the nasion, enion, and preauricular points. These landmarks guide the placement of electrodes according to standardized systems, ensuring consistency and reliability across sessions. Proper measurement ensures that the data collected reflects the intended brain regions, a critical factor in designing effective neurofeedback protocols. The International 10-20 system is the gold standard for electrode placement in neurofeedback and EEG recording. This system divides the scalp into regions based on percentages of the distance between anatomical landmarks, ensuring electrodes are evenly distributed. Familiarity with this system enables clinicians to target specific brain areas associated with various functions. For instance, FZ and CZ are commonly used for attention and motor-related training, while PZE may be targeted for relaxation protocols. Clinicians must also understand the functional relevance of each site to tailor neurofeedback interventions effectively. Electrode attachment is another critical aspect of EEG equipment literacy. Proper attachment involves preparing the scalp to reduce impedance and ensure good electrical conductivity. This requires cleaning the skin with an alcohol pad or abrasive gel and applying a conductive paste. Clinicians must use an impedance meter to confirm that connections are within an acceptable range, typically below 10 kΩ. Poor electrode attachment can result in noisy or invalid data, compromising the training session and wasting valuable client time. Mastery of this skill minimizes artifacts and ensures high-quality EEG recordings. Competence with EEG equipment also includes the ability to troubleshoot technical issues. For instance, a clinician may encounter high impedance at a specific electrode site or excessive noise in the EEG signal. Understanding how to identify and resolve these problems, such as re-preparing the site or checking for loose connections, ensures smooth session flow. Regular maintenance of EEG equipment further supports the reliability of neurofeedback training. In addition to technical skills, clinicians must be comfortable explaining EEG processes to clients. Clients often feel anxious or curious about the sensors and equipment. By confidently describing the non-invasive nature of EEG and demonstrating the process, clinicians can build trust and demystify the technology. This client education fosters cooperation and enhances the overall neurofeedback experience. Another crucial aspect of EEG equipment literacy is understanding the limitations of the technology. While EEG provides valuable insights into brain activity, it has spatial limitations compared to other imaging modalities like fMRI. Clinicians must recognize these constraints and use EEG data judiciously to inform training protocols without overinterpreting results. This balanced approach ensures ethical and effective practice. Finally, EEG equipment literacy is not static. It evolves with technological advancements. As neurofeedback technology progresses, clinicians must stay updated on new systems, software, and methodologies. Ongoing education and practice help clinicians maintain high standards of care, ensuring they deliver the best possible outcomes for their clients. Artifact creation and recognition. Artifacts are false or extraneous signals in EEG recordings that can distort neurofeedback data. Competence in artifact recognition begins with understanding the distinction between normal and abnormal raw EEG waveforms, as observed by visual inspection of EEG traces. Normal EEG patterns include distinct waveforms such as delta, theta, alpha, and beta rhythms, each associated with specific states and functions. Abnormal EEG patterns may include excessive slow wave activity, spindles, or spikes that could indicate underlying neurological issues. Clinicians must learn to differentiate these patterns from artifacts to ensure accurate data interpretation and know when consultation with a medical professional may be helpful. Artifacts can originate from various sources, including muscle activity, eye movements, and environmental interference. For example, muscle tension near the forehead can produce high-frequency noise in the EEG, while eye blinks generate large, slow deflections. Environmental factors, such as electrical interference from nearby equipment, can also contaminate the signal. Recognizing these artifacts requires careful visual inspection of the raw EEG and an understanding of the characteristic signatures of different artifacts. Valid EEG measurements depend on the clinician's ability to minimize and control artifacts during recording. This involves proper preparation, such as ensuring the client is relaxed and minimizing movement. Additionally, clinicians may use filters to suppress specific frequencies, such as 50 or 60 Hz noise from power lines. However, filters must be applied judiciously to avoid distorting the true EEG signal. Competence in artifact management ensures that neurofeedback protocols are based on accurate and reliable data. Artifact recognition is also essential for interpreting QEG assessments. Quantitative EEG relies on statistical comparisons of a client's brain activity to normative databases. Artifacts can skew these comparisons, leading to inaccurate conclusions about the client's brain function. Clinicians must review raw EEG data before generating QEG reports to confirm that the data is artifact-free and suitable for quantitative analysis. Training in artifact recognition often begins with supervised practice during professional mentorship or coursework. Mentors guide trainees in identifying common artifacts and distinguishing them from meaningful physiological signals. This hands-on experience builds confidence and competence, enabling clinicians to handle real-world challenges effectively. In some cases, artifacts can provide valuable information about the client. For instance, excessive muscle tension may indicate anxiety or stress, which could inform the choice of neurofeedback protocols. Similarly, frequent eye blinks or movement artifacts may suggest that the client requires additional coaching on relaxation techniques during sessions. These insights demonstrate how artifact analysis can contribute to a holistic understanding of the client's needs. Competence in artifact recognition also involves staying current with software advancements. Modern neurofeedback systems often include automated artifact detection features that assist clinicians in identifying and correcting issues. While these tools are helpful, clinicians must rely on their expertise to verify and interpret the results, ensuring that automation does not replace critical thinking. Ultimately, artifact recognition is a skill that evolves with experience. Seasoned clinicians develop an intuitive sense for identifying and managing artifacts, enabling them to conduct neurofeedback sessions efficiently and effectively. This competence ensures that clients receive high-quality training tailored to their specific brain activity. BCIA's Neurofeedback Essential Skills List. The Biofeedback Certification International Alliance, BCIA, provides a comprehensive neurofeedback essential skills list as a roadmap for developing clinical competence. This detailed competency checklist outlines the core skills clinicians must master to provide effective and ethical neurofeedback services. It includes equipment setup, protocol development, session implementation, and client education, ensuring that clinicians have a well-rounded skill set. The checklist emphasizes the importance of foundational knowledge in neuroanatomy and neurophysiology. Clinicians must understand how brain structures and networks generate EEG signals and how these relate to behavior and cognition. This knowledge underpins the development of effective training protocols and allows clinicians to explain the rationale behind interventions to clients. A key component of the essential skills list is the ability to design individualized neurofeedback protocols. Clinicians must assess client needs based on intake interviews, QEG results, and presenting symptoms. They then select appropriate training parameters, such as target frequencies and feedback modalities. This skill requires scientific understanding and clinical judgment, as protocols must balance evidence-based practices with the unique characteristics of each client. The essential skills list also highlights the importance of ongoing client assessment and session adjustment. Clinicians are encouraged to track progress through symptom reports, EEG data, and behavioral observations. If a client is not responding as expected, the clinician must revisit the protocol, identify potential issues, and make adjustments. This iterative process ensures that training remains effective and client-centered. Mentorship is a cornerstone of the BCIA training process. Trainees work under the supervision of experienced clinicians, receiving hands-on guidance in applying the essential skills list. Mentors provide feedback on equipment use, data interpretation, and client interactions, helping trainees refine their skills. This collaborative learning environment fosters confidence and competence, preparing trainees for independent practice. The essential skills list also serves as a blueprint for demonstrations during training programs. Demonstrations allow trainees to observe and practice core competencies in real-world scenarios. For instance, trainees may watch a mentor conduct a full neurofeedback session and then replicate the process under supervision. This experiential learning reinforces theoretical knowledge and builds practical skills. Ethical considerations are another focus of the essential skills list. Clinicians must adhere to principles such as informed consent, client confidentiality, and professional boundaries. They are also encouraged to recognize the limits of their expertise and refer clients to other professionals when necessary. These ethical guidelines ensure that neurofeedback is practiced responsibly and with the client's best interests in mind. Finally, the essential skills list underscores the importance of lifelong learning. Neurofeedback is a rapidly evolving field, with new research and technologies emerging regularly. Certified clinicians are encouraged to pursue continuing education, attend conferences, and engage with professional organizations to stay current. This commitment to ongoing development ensures that clinicians provide their clients the highest standard of care. Assessment process. Components. The assessment process in neurofeedback training is multifaceted, involving a series of components that collectively provide a comprehensive understanding of the client's neurophysiological and psychological state. The home component is the starting point, where clients complete questionnaires or symptom tracking forms before their initial visit. These tools gather baseline information about the client's concerns, lifestyle, and history, providing critical context for the clinician. For example, tracking sleep patterns, stress levels, or attention difficulties over time offers insights into the factors influencing the client's well-being and allows for the early identification of patterns that neurofeedback can target. The intake session is a cornerstone of the assessment process, where the clinician and client engage in a detailed discussion to explore the client's symptoms, goals, and expectations. This session often includes a thorough review of medical and psychological history to identify any conditions that may influence neurofeedback training. For instance, a history of traumatic brain injury or anxiety disorders could shape the training protocols. Clinicians use this time to explain the neurofeedback process, clarify the client's understanding, and address any misconceptions or anxieties they may have. The EEG component of the assessment process is both technical and diagnostic. A quantitative EEG, QEG, or brain mapping is typically conducted to objectively analyze the client's brainwave activity. This involves placing sensors on the scalp to measure electrical activity at rest or during specific tasks. The QEG data is then compared to a normative database to identify deviations in brainwave patterns. For example, excessive theta activity in the frontal regions might be associated with attention deficits, while elevated high beta waves could indicate hyperarousal or anxiety. During the EEG assessment, clinicians sometimes include tasks challenging the client's cognitive or emotional systems. These tasks may involve problem-solving exercises, reading, or relaxing with eyes closed. The goal is to observe how the brain responds to different stimuli and identify areas of dysregulation. This dynamic assessment can provide a richer understanding of the client's neurological profile than static measurements alone. The clinician's role during the assessment process is both observational and interactive. Clinicians monitor the client's physiological and behavioral responses throughout the session. They may note signs of discomfort, fidgeting, or difficulty completing tasks, which can offer additional clues about the client's state of arousal or focus. These observations complement the quantitative data, providing a holistic view of the client's needs. Another critical component is client education. During the assessment, clinicians explain the significance of the findings in a way that is accessible and empowering for the client. For instance, they might describe how certain brainwave imbalances correspond to the client's reported symptoms and how neurofeedback training can help address these issues. This educational dialogue fosters trust and collaboration, laying the groundwork for a successful therapeutic relationship. The assessment process concludes with a synthesis of the gathered information. The clinician combines data from the home questionnaires, intake session, and EEG to create a comprehensive profile of the client's strengths and challenges. This profile informs the development of personalized neurofeedback protocols tailored to the client's unique neurological and psychological makeup. Tools. The tools used in neurofeedback assessments are essential for collecting accurate data and guiding effective interventions. The NuQ assessment is a widely utilized tool that combines EEG data with task-based challenges to evaluate brainwave activity comprehensively. Similar to other clinical assessments like the Clinical Q or New Mind Maps, the NuQ uses established literature and clinical expertise to interpret EEG patterns. For instance, a clinician might identify excessive theta activity during a task requiring focus and interpret this as a sign of attention dysregulation. Data collection in neurofeedback assessments is a meticulous process requiring attention to precision and context. Clinicians must ensure that electrodes are properly placed and impedance levels are within acceptable ranges to capture high-quality EEG signals. Any deviation, such as a poorly placed electrode, can introduce noise or distort the data, leading to inaccurate conclusions. The NuQ assessment software provides real-time feedback on electrode connections, aiding clinicians in maintaining data integrity. Artifact minimization is a critical aspect of data collection. Artifacts, such as muscle tension or eye movements, can obscure true EEG signals and compromise the validity of the assessment. Clinicians use several strategies to reduce artifacts, including guiding the client to relax, minimizing environmental noise, and applying filters to the EEG data. For instance, a notch filter may be used to eliminate electrical interference from nearby devices, while careful coaching can reduce muscle-related noise from jaw clenching or forehead tension. The NuQ assessment includes a series of tasks designed to elicit specific brainwave responses, providing context-rich data for interpretation. For example, tasks may involve alternating between focused concentration and relaxed states to observe how the client's brain transitions between these conditions. A well-designed assessment protocol allows clinicians to capture a broad range of brainwave activity, offering insights into the client's flexibility and resilience. Advanced software tools enhance data analysis, offering visual representations of EEG activity and statistical comparisons to normative databases. These tools enable clinicians to identify patterns of dysregulation that may not be immediately apparent in raw EEG data. For example, the software might highlight asymmetries in alpha activity between hemispheres or pinpoint regions with elevated beta waves linked to anxiety. Artifact minimization extends beyond technical adjustments to include client education and preparation. Clinicians educate clients about the importance of staying still and avoiding distractions during the assessment. They also provide reassurance to alleviate anxiety, which can itself become a source of artifacts. A calm, well-prepared client is less likely to generate extraneous noise in the EEG data. The effectiveness of tools like the NuQ assessment depends on the clinician's expertise in interpreting the results. While software aids in identifying patterns, the clinician must contextualize these findings within the client's reported symptoms and history. This combination of technical tools and clinical judgment ensures a nuanced and accurate assessment process. Finally, clinicians document the assessment process thoroughly, recording the EEG data, observational notes, and client feedback. These records are a reference for tracking progress and adjusting protocols during neurofeedback training. The comprehensive use of tools in the assessment phase sets the stage for effective, individualized interventions. Results interpretation. Interpreting the results of a neurofeedback assessment involves translating EEG data into actionable clinical insights. EEG tasks provide a dynamic view of the client's brain activity, revealing how it responds to different challenges and states. For example, a client might show stable alpha rhythms during relaxation but excessive theta activity during a focused task, indicating difficulty maintaining attention. By analyzing these patterns, clinicians can identify specific areas of dysregulation that require targeted intervention. Clinical insights derived from EEG tasks extend beyond symptom identification. They provide a deeper understanding of the client's neurological resilience and flexibility. For instance, the ability to transition smoothly between states of arousal and relaxation suggests a well-regulated brain, while difficulties in these transitions may indicate underlying dysregulation. These insights guide the design of neurofeedback protocols that enhance the client's capacity for self-regulation. Normative database usage is a cornerstone of results interpretation in neurofeedback. These databases contain EEG metrics from large populations, providing a benchmark for comparing an individual's brain activity. Deviations from the norm, such as elevated theta/beta ratios or asymmetries in alpha activity, can highlight areas of concern. For example, a child with ADHD may exhibit an elevated theta/beta ratio in frontal regions, supporting the need for protocols targeting attention regulation. The interpretation process also considers the context provided by the client's history and reported symptoms. For instance, a client with a history of anxiety may present with elevated beta activity in frontal regions, correlating with their experiences of hyperarousal. By linking EEG findings to the client's lived experience, clinicians can develop protocols that address the neurological and psychological dimensions of their concerns. Results interpretation requires a balance between quantitative analysis and clinical experience. While EEG metrics and normative comparisons provide objective data, clinicians must also consider the subtleties of each client's presentation. For example, two clients with similar EEG profiles may require different interventions based on their unique goals, preferences, and responses to training. Visualization tools play a crucial role in communicating results to clients. Graphs and heat maps of brain activity make complex data accessible, helping clients understand their patterns of dysregulation. Clinicians use these visuals to explain the rationale for training protocols, fostering a sense of collaboration and empowerment in the therapeutic process. The interpretation of results also informs ongoing training and reassessment. As neurofeedback progresses, clinicians compare post-training EEG data to the baseline assessment, tracking changes and refining protocols. This iterative process ensures that training remains effective and responsive to the client's evolving needs. Ultimately, results interpretation is not a one-time event, but a continuous dialogue between the clinician, client, and data. By combining technical expertise with empathetic communication, clinicians can translate assessment findings into meaningful, client-centered interventions that support lasting change. Treatment implementation. Client preparation. Preparing clients for neurofeedback training is essential for fostering trust, understanding, and collaboration throughout the process. Establishing a collaborative relationship between the clinician and the client is the foundation of effective treatment. This partnership relies on open communication, mutual respect, and a shared commitment to achieving the client's goals. Clinicians must approach each client with empathy and curiosity, recognizing the individual's unique experiences and concerns. By actively involving clients in discussions about their treatment plan, clinicians empower them to take an active role in their neurofeedback journey, promoting engagement and long-term success. Collaborative relationships also involve setting realistic expectations about the process and outcomes of neurofeedback training. Clients may come to sessions with misconceptions about the speed or scope of results. Clinicians must explain that neurofeedback is a learning process that requires time, consistency, and practice. For example, improvements in symptoms such as anxiety or attention deficits may occur gradually over several sessions. Honest conversations about these dynamics help build trust and reduce potential frustration or disappointment. Educational interactions are another critical aspect of client preparation. Clinicians must educate clients about the science behind neurofeedback, including how brainwaves relate to their symptoms and how training can bring about change. For instance, a clinician might explain how excessive beta activity contributes to anxiety and how training to enhance alpha waves can promote relaxation. Using accessible language and visual aids, such as brainwave graphs, helps clients grasp complex concepts and feel more confident in the process. Educational interactions also extend to demystifying the equipment and procedures used during sessions. Clients often feel apprehensive about wearing electrodes or seeing their brain activity displayed on a screen. Demonstrating the equipment, explaining its non-invasive nature, and providing a walkthrough of a typical session can alleviate these fears. This transparency reduces anxiety and enhances the client's sense of agency and involvement. Client preparation includes addressing practical aspects of the training process. For example, clients should be informed about the importance of hydration and avoiding caffeine before sessions, as these factors can influence EEG readings. Similarly, clinicians can guide clients on creating a quiet and comfortable space for remote sessions if applicable. These small but important details contribute to the overall effectiveness of the training. A key component of preparation is identifying and addressing potential barriers to participation. These might include logistical challenges, such as scheduling conflicts, or emotional obstacles, such as fear of failure. Clinicians can work collaboratively with clients to find solutions, such as flexible scheduling or framing setbacks, as learning opportunities rather than failures. Finally, preparation is an ongoing process that evolves as the client progresses through training. Regular check-ins provide opportunities to revisit goals, discuss challenges, and celebrate successes. This continuous dialogue reinforces the collaborative relationship and ensures the treatment plan remains aligned with the client's needs and aspirations. Procedures. Neurofeedback training involves a variety of procedures tailored to the client's specific needs and goals. Alpha-theta training is one of the most common approaches for relaxation, stress reduction, and trauma recovery. This method involves training clients to enhance their alpha, 8 to 12 Hz, and theta, 4 to 8 Hz, brainwave activity, which are associated with deep relaxation and meditative states. During an alpha-theta session, clients typically sit in a reclined position with their eyes closed. At the same time, auditory feedback, such as soothing tones or music, guides their brain toward the desired state. Clinicians monitor the EEG data in real time, adjusting thresholds as needed to support the client's progress. Alpha-theta training is particularly effective for accessing subconscious material and promoting emotional processing. For instance, clients with a history of trauma may experience a release of suppressed emotions during these sessions, facilitating psychological healing. Clinicians must be attuned to these responses, providing support and guidance as needed to help clients navigate these experiences safely. Remote neurofeedback sessions have become increasingly important, particularly in the context of telehealth. Remote training allows clients to engage in neurofeedback from the comfort of their homes, using portable EEG devices and software platforms that connect them to their clinician. This approach offers convenience and accessibility, particularly for clients who live in areas distant from the trainer or who have mobility challenges. However, it also requires additional preparation and communication to ensure clients can use the equipment correctly and troubleshoot minor issues independently. Remote training includes detailed instructions on setting up the equipment, positioning electrodes, and using the software. Clinicians may use video calls to guide clients through these steps, ensuring the setup meets professional standards. They also provide resources such as instructional videos and written guides for clients to refer to between sessions. These tools empower clients to take ownership of their training while maintaining a strong connection with their clinician. Both Alpha Theta training and remote procedures emphasize the importance of personalization. Clinicians must adapt protocols to the client's unique needs, adjusting feedback modalities, target frequencies, and session duration as needed. For example, a client who finds auditory feedback distracting may benefit from visual feedback instead, such as watching a video that pauses or plays based on their brainwave activity. This flexibility ensures that the training remains effective and client-centered. Procedures also include ongoing monitoring and evaluation. Clinicians track the client's progress through EEG data and self-reported outcomes, making adjustments to the protocol as needed. For instance, if a client shows significant improvements in relaxation but continues to struggle with attention, the clinician may introduce beta training to address this additional goal. This iterative process ensures that the training evolves alongside the client's needs. Finally, the procedural aspect of neurofeedback emphasizes safety and ethics. Clinicians must ensure that all training protocols are evidence-based and appropriate for the client's condition. They must also maintain clear boundaries, respecting the client's autonomy and right to discontinue training at any time. These ethical considerations are central to delivering effective and compassionate care. Feedback approaches. Feedback is the core mechanism of neurofeedback training, training clients to learn how to regulate their brain activity through real-time information. Proportional feedback mechanisms are widely used because of their ability to provide continuous, nuanced feedback. Unlike binary feedback systems, which offer only on-off signals, proportional feedback reflects gradual changes in brainwave activity. For example, a proportional feedback system might utilize a flower that opens and closes in response to the amplitude of a target brainwave. As the client approaches the desired state, the flower opens more fully, offering a clear and motivating representation of progress. Proportional feedback is particularly effective for promoting learning because it mirrors the brain's natural trial and error processes. Clients receive immediate reinforcement for small improvements, encouraging them to sustain and refine their efforts. Over time, this process helps clients internalize the ability to self-regulate their brain activity without relying on external cues. Event-related feedback adds another layer of specificity to neurofeedback training. In this approach, a discrete signal, such as a tone or visual flash, occurs only when the client achieves a defined threshold of brainwave activity. For instance, a client training to enhance sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, might hear a ping sound each time their SMR amplitude exceeds the target threshold for at least 250 milliseconds. This type of feedback reinforces sustained attention and focus, making it particularly useful for clients with attention deficits or hyperactivity. The impact of event-related feedback lies in its ability to highlight moments of success, helping clients recognize and replicate the desired brain state. However, careful calibration is required to ensure that thresholds are challenging yet achievable. If the feedback occurs too frequently, it may lose its motivational value. If it occurs too rarely, clients may become frustrated. Clinicians must strike a balance that optimizes learning and engagement. Both proportional and event-related feedback approaches can be customized to suit the client's preferences and needs. For example, some clients may respond better to auditory feedback, while others may prefer visual or tactile signals. Clinicians can experiment with different modalities to identify what works best for each individual, ensuring a tailored and effective training experience. Feedback approaches also vary depending on the client's goals. For relaxation training, Feedback may emphasize smooth, continuous signals that promote a sense of calm. In contrast, attention training might use more dynamic and intermittent feedback to encourage alertness and focus. This versatility highlights the importance of aligning feedback methods with the client's objectives. Finally, feedback systems must be integrated with a broader client support and education framework. Clinicians help clients interpret their feedback, explaining how it relates to their brain activity and symptoms. They also guide clients in transferring these skills to real-life situations, such as using breathing techniques to manage stress or staying focused during tasks. This holistic approach ensures that the benefits of neurofeedback extend beyond the training sessions, empowering clients to achieve lasting improvements in their well-being. Demonstrations. International 10-20 System. The International 10-20 System is the standard framework used for electrode placement in EEG and neurofeedback. This system ensures consistency and reliability across sessions by dividing the scalp into evenly spaced locations based on anatomical landmarks. These landmarks include the nasion, the bridge of the nose, the enion, the bump at the back of the skull, and the preauricular points in front of the ears. Electrodes are placed at specific percentages of the distances between these landmarks, creating a systematic grid that accurately targets brain regions associated with different functions. Electrode placement within the 10-20 system is an important skill to master. Each site on the grid corresponds to a unique area of the brain and is labeled with a combination of letters and numbers. For example, FZ represents the midline frontal cortex, CZ the central midline, and PZ the parietal midline, where Z signifies the zenith. Odd numbers indicate the left hemisphere, while even numbers indicate the right. Proper placement requires precise measurement to ensure electrodes are positioned over the intended brain regions. For instance, training at CZ targets the sensorimotor cortex, which is critical for improving focus and reducing hyperactivity. The measurement demonstration is a key part of teaching clinicians how to effectively apply the 10-20 system. This process involves measuring the distances between anatomical landmarks and calculating the correct electrode positions. Clinicians typically use a measuring tape to find 10% and 20% intervals along the nasion to enion and ear-to-ear lines. Demonstrations often include live examples where instructors guide trainees through the step-by-step process, highlighting common errors and troubleshooting tips. This hands-on practice is essential for building confidence, efficiency, and competence in electrode placement. Clinicians must also understand the functional implications of each electrode site. For instance, training at F3 and F4 can target emotional regulation and cognitive control, while T3 and T4 are associated with auditory processing. By mastering the 10-20 system, clinicians can design protocols that address specific client needs, ensuring targeted and effective neurofeedback training. In addition to its technical utility, the 10-20 system provides a common language for communication among clinicians and researchers. Referencing standardized electrode sites ensures clarity and consistency when discussing training protocols or research findings. This shared framework facilitates collaboration and advances in the field of neurofeedback. Proper application of the 10-20 system also requires clinicians to consider the client's comfort and safety. Scalp preparation, including cleaning the skin and applying conductive gel, minimizes impedance and ensures accurate readings. Clinicians must also be mindful of client anxiety or discomfort during electrode placement, providing reassurance and explanations as needed to build trust and cooperation. Finally, ongoing practice and review are essential for maintaining proficiency in the 10-20 system. Clinicians should regularly revisit their skills, participate in workshops, and seek feedback from peers or mentors. This commitment to continuous learning ensures that electrode placement remains precise and effective throughout their practice. 19-channel EEG recording. A 19-channel EEG recording provides a comprehensive view of brain activity, capturing data from multiple regions simultaneously. This type of recording is often used in advanced neurofeedback assessments, such as quantitative EEG, QEG, or brain mapping, to identify patterns of dysregulation across the brain. By examining activity across all 19 standard sites in the International 1020 system, clinicians can gain a holistic understanding of the client's neurological functioning. The BioTrace Plus Nexus 32 display is a popular system for conducting 19-channel EEG recordings. This software and hardware combination offers real-time visualization of brainwave activity, allowing clinicians to monitor and analyze the client's EEG in detail. The Nexus 32 device connects to 19 electrodes placed on the scalp, while the BioTrace Plus software processes and displays the data. Clinicians can view raw EEG signals, power spectral density graphs, and topographical maps highlighting areas of over- or underactivity. The setup process for a 19-channel EEG recording requires meticulous attention to detail. Electrodes must be placed accurately according to the 1020 system, and impedance levels must be checked for each channel to ensure reliable data. Clinicians must also minimize artifacts, such as those caused by muscle tension or eye movements, to capture clean and interpretable EEG signals. Demonstrations of this process often include step-by-step guidance on electrode placement, equipment calibration, and artifact control. Electrode caps have electrodes securely attached to elastic material to help make accurate placement more efficient. Once the recording begins, the BioTrace Plus/Nexus 32 display provides a wealth of information about the client's brain activity. For example, clinicians can observe patterns of high beta activity in the frontal regions, which may be associated with anxiety, or elevated theta/beta ratios in the central regions, which may indicate attention deficits. These findings guide the development of individualized training protocols that target specific areas of dysregulation. In addition to assessment, 19-channel recordings can be used for neurofeedback training that involves multiple regions simultaneously. For instance, Z-score training uses data from the entire EEG recording to compare the client's brain activity to a normative database, providing feedback encouraging overall regulation and balance. This approach is particularly effective for clients with complex or diffuse symptoms that require broad-based interventions. Demonstrations of 19-channel EEG recordings also highlight the importance of client education. Clinicians can use the visualizations provided by the BioTrace Plus software to explain their findings to clients, helping them understand the connections between brain activity and their symptoms. This collaborative approach fosters client engagement and motivation. Finally, clinicians must remain flexible and adaptable when working with 19-channel recordings. While these systems provide a wealth of data, interpreting and applying the findings requires clinical experience, judgment, and a thorough understanding of the client's unique context. Ongoing training and experience help clinicians refine their skills and deliver effective, client-centered care. Full neurofeedback training session. A full neurofeedback training session integrates all the components of assessment and preparation into a cohesive therapeutic experience. The protocol details form the backbone of the session, outlining the specific brainwave targets, feedback modalities, and session duration. For example, a session designed to improve focus might involve rewarding increases in beta activity at CZ while inhibiting theta and high beta activity. These parameters are carefully calibrated based on the client's assessment data and goals, ensuring a personalized approach. The session begins with a brief check-in, during which the clinician and client discuss progress, challenges, and any changes in symptoms since the last session. This dialogue helps the clinician make necessary adjustments to the protocol and ensures that the session remains aligned with the client's needs. Baseline recording before and after training helps to monitor progress. Training is often organized into 10 3-minute blocks with brief pauses between. Once the session begins, the client receives real-time feedback through auditory, visual, or tactile modalities, which guide their brain toward the desired state. For instance, the client might hear soothing music that becomes louder as their brain produces more of the target brainwave activity. Responses and adjustments during the session are critical for maintaining its effectiveness. Clinicians monitor the EEG data in real time, looking for signs that the client is achieving the desired brainwave patterns. If the client struggles to reach the target state, the clinician may adjust the feedback thresholds or provide additional coaching. Conversely, if the client exceeds the target consistently, the thresholds may be increased to provide a new challenge. These adjustments ensure that the training remains engaging and effective. The session also involves bidirectional clinician-client communication, which is essential for creating a collaborative and supportive environment. Clinicians check in periodically to assess how the client is feeling and address any discomfort or concerns. For example, a client who feels frustrated by the feedback may benefit from reassurance and encouragement, while a client experiencing overarousal may need a brief pause to reset. These interactions help build trust and rapport, enhancing the overall therapeutic experience. After the training session, the clinician and client review the results together, discussing any changes in brainwave activity and how these relate to the client's symptoms or goals. This debriefing allows the client to reflect on their experience and for the clinician to gather feedback that informs future sessions. For instance, a client who reports feeling more relaxed and focused after a session may provide valuable insights into the protocol's effectiveness. Full neurofeedback training sessions also emphasize the importance of consistency and practice. Clients are encouraged to attend sessions regularly and to apply the skills they learn in everyday situations. For example, a client training to reduce anxiety might practice deep breathing or mindfulness techniques to reinforce their progress between sessions. This integration of neurofeedback into daily life is key to achieving lasting change. Finally, full neurofeedback sessions highlight the iterative nature of the training process. Each session builds on the previous one, gradually helping the client develop greater self-regulation and resilience. Clinicians and clients work together to refine the protocols and strategies, ensuring that the training remains effective and aligned with the client's evolving needs and goals. This dynamic and collaborative approach underscores the transformative potential of neurofeedback therapy. Outcomes and adjustments, negative effects and responses. While neurofeedback is generally well tolerated and effective, some clients may experience negative effects during or after training. These effects can include headaches, increased anxiety, fatigue, or difficulty sleeping. Negative responses sometimes occur when the training protocol inadvertently overactivates or suppresses certain brainwave frequencies, disrupting the client's neurophysiological balance. For instance, excessive beta training may lead to heightened arousal, while over-reinforcement of alpha activity could cause feelings of mental fog. Such side effects are usually short-lived. Recognizing and addressing these responses is crucial for ensuring client safety and trust and for preventing long-lasting side effects. Recognition and validation are essential when clients report negative effects. Clinicians must actively listen to clients' concerns, validate their experiences, and avoid dismissing their symptoms as trivial. Acknowledging the possibility of adverse effects fosters a collaborative relationship and reassures clients that their well-being is the clinician's priority. For example, if a client reports feeling overly fatigued after a session, the clinician might explore how the training protocol or external factors could have contributed to this response and options for adjusting details of the neurofeedback training. Adjustments to training protocols are the primary means of addressing negative effects. Clinicians carefully review the session data, including EEG patterns and feedback parameters, to identify potential causes of the adverse response. For example, if a client experiences increased anxiety following beta training, the clinician might lower the training threshold or shift to protocols that enhance sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, activity, or lower frequency beta activity. This iterative process ensures that training aligns with the client's needs and physiological tolerance. Client education is also integral to managing negative effects. Clinicians explain that neurofeedback involves a learning curve, with brief discomfort possible as the brain adapts to new patterns. They provide strategies for managing symptoms, such as relaxation techniques or mindfulness exercises, which can help clients cope with temporary discomfort and reinforce their progress. Monitoring and documenting negative effects provide valuable insights for refining neurofeedback practice. Clinicians record the nature, frequency, and severity of adverse responses, as well as the adjustments made to protocols. This systematic approach enables clinicians to identify trends and improve their ability to anticipate and prevent negative outcomes in future sessions. In cases where negative effects persist despite protocol adjustments, clinicians may consult with colleagues or refer the client to another specialist. For example, a client with a complex neurological or psychiatric history might benefit from a multidisciplinary approach that combines neurofeedback with psychotherapy, medication, or other interventions. Collaboration ensures that the client receives comprehensive care tailored to their unique needs. Ultimately, addressing negative effects involves balancing empathy, expertise, and adaptability. By recognizing and responding to clients' experiences, clinicians improve the efficacy of neurofeedback training and strengthen the therapeutic alliance, paving the way for long-term success. Session outcomes. Session outcomes in neurofeedback training provide measurable progress indicators, helping clinicians and clients track changes over time. One frequent outcome to track is the amplitude of EEG bands that training aims to reinforce or inhibit. During a session, clinicians may also monitor the client's ability to sustain desirable EEG activity as shown by the number of points achieved, for example, producing the reinforced EEG pattern for 250 milliseconds. Over time, consistent increases in EEG amplitude and points achieved indicate that the client is developing greater self-regulation and control. Changes in cognitive arousal levels are another important outcome. Neurofeedback aims to help clients achieve an optimal balance of arousal, avoiding overactivation and underactivation. For example, clients with ADHD may present with excessive theta activity relative to beta, leading to difficulties with focus and attention. Successful training reduces the theta/beta ratio, improving cognitive engagement and task performance as directly observed in their behavior. Conversely, if clients with anxiety benefit from protocols that decrease high beta activity, their improving relaxation may be seen within the session and by others afterward. Session outcomes are not limited to EEG data or direct behavioral observation. They also include self-reported changes in symptoms and behaviors. Clients may describe feeling more focused, relaxed, or emotionally stable after a session, providing qualitative feedback that complements the quantitative EEG data. Such self-reports can also be quantified with rating scales that are standardized or client-specific. Clinicians document these reports to build a comprehensive picture of the client's progress and identify patterns that may inform future sessions. Reviewing session outcomes with clients is a collaborative process that fosters engagement and motivation. Clinicians use visual aids, such as graphs or heat maps, that show intensity by cooler or hotter colors. These aids illustrate changes in brainwave activity and explain how these changes relate to the client's goals. For instance, a client training for improved sleep might see a decrease in high beta activity, which corresponds to reduced nighttime arousal. These discussions help clients understand the value of their efforts and encourage continued participation. Session outcomes also inform adjustments to training protocols. If a client demonstrates significant improvement in one area, the clinician may shift the focus to other goals. For example, a client who achieves consistent SMR training improvements might transition to protocols targeting alpha activity to enhance creativity and relaxation. This dynamic approach ensures that training evolves alongside the client's needs. In cases where session outcomes fall short of expectations, clinicians conduct a thorough review to identify potential barriers. Factors such as stress, fatigue, or external distractions may influence the client's performance during a session. Addressing these issues, whether through coaching, environmental modifications, or protocol adjustments, helps optimize future outcomes. Finally, session outcomes contribute to the overall evaluation of neurofeedback's effectiveness. By comparing pre- and post-training data, clinicians can assess the cumulative impact of the intervention and determine whether additional sessions or complementary treatments are needed. This evidence-based approach ensures that neurofeedback remains client-centered and results-driven. Tailored approaches. Tailoring neurofeedback interventions to each client's unique needs is critical for achieving optimal outcomes. Client-specific interventions begin with thoroughly assessing the client's symptoms, goals, and neurological profile. For example, a client with generalized anxiety disorder may benefit from protocols that enhance alpha activity in the parietal and occipital regions. In contrast, a client with ADHD might require beta training in the frontal cortex. This individualized approach ensures that neurofeedback targets the specific brainwave patterns associated with the client's concerns. Tailored interventions also consider the client's preferences and learning style. Some clients respond best to auditory feedback, such as tones or music, while others prefer visual stimuli, such as moving graphics. Clinicians collaborate with clients to identify the feedback modalities that resonate most effectively, creating an engaging and effective training experience. Examples for children and adolescents highlight the importance of creativity and flexibility in neurofeedback. Younger clients often require shorter sessions and interactive feedback to maintain their attention and motivation. For instance, a child with ADHD might engage in a feedback game where their brainwave activity controls a character's or vehicle's movement. These gamified approaches make the training process enjoyable while promoting the desired brainwave patterns. Opportunity to select a desirable, tangible reward for success can enhance motivation and progress. Adolescents present unique challenges and opportunities in neurofeedback. This age group may struggle with emotional regulation, peer pressure, or academic stress, which can influence their response to training. Tailored interventions for adolescents often include protocols that enhance frontal lobe function, supporting decision-making, impulse control, and focus. Clinicians also use age-appropriate language and visuals to explain the training process, fostering understanding and cooperation. Parental involvement is a key consideration when working with children and adolescents. Parents can provide valuable insights into their child's behavior and progress, helping clinicians fine-tune the training protocols. Additionally, parents may need guidance on supporting their child's neurofeedback journey, such as creating a calm environment for sessions or reinforcing self-regulation techniques at home. Tailored approaches extend to clients with complex or co-occurring conditions. For instance, a client with both anxiety and chronic pain may require protocols that address multiple brainwave patterns, such as alpha enhancement for relaxation and beta reduction for pain management. Clinicians carefully monitor the client's response to ensure the training remains effective and well-tolerated. Finally, tailoring neurofeedback interventions involves an ongoing commitment to flexibility and adaptation. Clients' needs and goals may change as they progress, requiring clinicians to adjust protocols, feedback modalities, or session structures. This dynamic approach ensures that neurofeedback remains a personalized and impactful tool for promoting mental and emotional well-being. Tools and references. Between session tracking. Between session tracking is a vital component of neurofeedback training, providing insights into the client's progress and responses outside the clinical setting. This process systematically gathers information about the client's symptoms, behaviors, and experiences between sessions, enabling clinicians to fine-tune protocols and address emerging concerns. By documenting changes over time, between session tracking supports a dynamic and responsive approach to treatment, ensuring that neurofeedback aligns with the client's evolving needs. Online and paper forms are the primary tools for between session tracking, offering flexibility and convenience for both clients and clinicians. Online forms are particularly advantageous as they allow clients to submit updates in real time, reducing the risk of recall bias. These forms can be customized to include specific questions about mood, sleep patterns, focus, or physical symptoms, providing targeted data for analysis. Paper forms, while less immediate, can be just as effective, especially for clients who prefer traditional methods or lack access to digital devices. Both formats encourage clients to reflect on their progress and reinforce the therapeutic process. The design of tracking forms significantly influences their effectiveness. Simple, open-ended questions often yield more meaningful insights than rigid, overly detailed questionnaires. For example, asking clients to describe any notable changes or challenges since the last session invites them to share personal and relevant experiences. Structured questions, such as rating anxiety on a scale from 1 to 10, complement this approach by providing quantifiable data for comparison over time. Balancing these elements ensures that tracking forms capture both the depth and breadth of the client's experiences. Clinician probing techniques enhance the utility of between-session tracking by uncovering additional details that may not be immediately apparent from the forms. During sessions, clinicians review the client's submissions and ask follow-up questions to clarify or expand upon their responses. For instance, if a client reports improved sleep but persistent morning grogginess, the clinician might explore factors such as bedtime routines, caffeine consumption, or stress levels. These discussions provide valuable context for interpreting the data and adjusting training protocols accordingly. Probing techniques also foster a collaborative relationship between the clinician and the client. By actively engaging with the client's experiences, the clinician demonstrates genuine interest and investment in their progress. This dialogue encourages clients to share openly and take ownership of their neurofeedback journey, enhancing their motivation and commitment to the process. Between-session tracking is not solely about monitoring symptoms. It also serves as a tool for identifying patterns and triggers. For example, a client might notice that their anxiety spikes on days when they skip meals or experience high work demands. Recognizing these connections empowers clients to make informed lifestyle adjustments that complement their neurofeedback training. Ultimately, between-session tracking is a dynamic process that evolves alongside the client's progress. Clinicians periodically review and refine the tracking tools to ensure they remain relevant and aligned with the client's goals. This adaptability ensures that tracking remains an integral and effective part of the neurofeedback process, driving continuous improvement and positive outcomes. Research studies. Research studies form the backbone of evidence-based neurofeedback practice, providing clinicians with a robust understanding of its mechanisms, applications, and outcomes. Meta-analyses and case studies are particularly valuable, offering complementary insights into the efficacy and versatility of neurofeedback. Meta-analyses synthesize data from multiple studies, providing a high-level view of trends, effectiveness, and limitations. On the other hand, case studies delve into individual client experiences, illustrating the nuanced application of neurofeedback in real-world settings. Meta-analyses have consistently demonstrated the efficacy of neurofeedback for a range of conditions, particularly ADHD. For example, a landmark meta-analysis by Arns et al., 2009, found that neurofeedback significantly improves attention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity, with outcomes comparable to medication in some cases. These findings underscore neurofeedback's potential as a non-invasive and sustainable treatment option, especially for clients seeking alternatives to pharmacological interventions. Clinicians can reference such studies to support their practice and guide protocol development. Case studies provide rich, detailed accounts of neurofeedback's impact on individual clients, highlighting its adaptability and client-centered nature. For instance, a case study might describe how a client with generalized anxiety disorder achieved significant symptom reduction through alpha theta training. These narratives often include pre- and post-training EEG data, self-reported outcomes, and clinician observations, offering a holistic view of the intervention's effects. By examining case studies, clinicians gain practical insights into tailoring protocols, managing challenges, and optimizing outcomes. The efficacy of neurofeedback in ADHD, anxiety, and depression is well documented, making these conditions key areas of focus in research and clinical practice. ADHD has perhaps the strongest evidence base, with numerous studies demonstrating neurofeedback's ability to improve attention, reduce impulsivity, and enhance executive functioning. These benefits are attributed to protocols that target the theta/beta ratio, addressing the dysregulated brainwave patterns commonly observed in ADHD. For anxiety, neurofeedback has shown promise in reducing symptoms by promoting relaxation and reducing hyperarousal. Training protocols often target alpha or SMR activity, helping clients achieve a calm yet alert state. Studies have reported significant decreases in anxiety levels, improved emotional regulation, and enhanced quality of life among clients undergoing neurofeedback. These findings highlight the potential of neurofeedback as a complementary or standalone treatment for anxiety disorders. Depression is another area where neurofeedback has demonstrated efficacy, particularly in cases resistant to traditional treatments. Protocols that target frontal alpha asymmetry, a marker associated with depressive symptoms, have been shown to alleviate mood disturbances and restore balance in brain activity. Research indicates that neurofeedback can complement psychotherapy and medication, providing a holistic approach to managing depression. Ongoing research continues to expand the evidence base for neurofeedback, exploring its applications for conditions such as PTSD, autism spectrum disorders, epilepsy, sleep, and chronic pain. Applications for enhancing peak performance, for example, among athletes, continue to garner interest. As the field evolves, clinicians must stay informed about emerging findings, integrating new insights into their practice to provide the highest standard of care. Engaging with professional organizations, attending conferences, and participating in continuing education are essential for maintaining an evidence-based approach to neurofeedback. In conclusion, research studies are the cornerstone of neurofeedback, informing every aspect of clinical practice from assessment to training. By grounding their work in robust evidence and staying attuned to new developments, clinicians can deliver effective, ethical, and client-centered care that meets the diverse needs of their clients. Conclusion: we have emphasized the structured, client-centered nature of neurofeedback practice, focusing on preparation, implementation, and continuous adaptation to individual needs. Neurofeedback training relies heavily on the foundational understanding of the International 1020 system, meticulous electrode placement, and tools like the BioTrace Plus Nexus 32 display to monitor and target specific brainwave patterns. Proper training involves collaboration and education, where clinicians and clients work together to identify goals, understand neurofeedback mechanisms, and adapt protocols based on progress. Negative effects, while uncommon, are recognized and addressed through validation, protocol adjustments, and ongoing communication to ensure safety and trust. Outcomes such as amplitude changes in selected EEG bands and balanced cognitive arousal levels provide measurable progress markers. At the same time, between-session tracking adds depth to this understanding by capturing the client's experiences outside the clinic. Tailored approaches are vital, especially for specific populations like children and adolescents, requiring creativity and flexibility to maintain engagement. The practice is grounded in robust evidence from research studies, including meta-analyses and case studies, which support neurofeedback's efficacy for conditions like ADHD, anxiety, and depression. These studies validate neurofeedback's impact and offer practical insights for clinicians to refine their techniques. The overall approach in neurofeedback is dynamic and iterative, ensuring that every aspect, from assessment to training and outcome evaluation, is tailored to the client's unique physiological and psychological profile, creating a path for sustainable mental and emotional well-being.